Abner Maris is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world, both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Maris, we'll hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and man he is today. They chat about topics like the state of boxing, being a husband and a girl dad, sports, music, culture, and family life. Listen to On the Hook with Abner Maris each week wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays, and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. We are already on episode 813. It's kind of hard to believe. I know I say that every week, but you know, that's how numbers work. So they just keep getting bigger as we record more daily episodes of the podcast. Today, Jacob Westendorf is missing in action because it's his anniversary. So happy anniversary, Jacob and Frankie. But today I am joined by Jimmy and Gage for a change up. So you don't have to listen to me and Jimmy once again talking about Packers superlatives. Today we have planned for you the Packers defense versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. And it kind of feels like there's a lot to talk about. I mean, this is one of the more explosive offenses in the NFL right now. There were a lot of additions to this Bucs roster, namely future Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, Tom Brady. So Gage, before we get into position by position breakdowns here, what were some key things that you felt you noticed with this Buccaneers offense kind of going into the season? Who were you watching specifically? Maybe I know you bring a fantasy angle. So any players that you kind of had your specific eye on?
My main one that I was watching was Godwin. Godwin had obviously an explosive breakout year last year. I'm pretty sure he finished as wide receiver 3 or 4 in fantasy. Just ton of volume. Great at breaking big plays. Had a great connection with Jameis. I was interested to see how he was going to fit with Brady because I felt that he and Brady were a great fit. Obviously, Godwin operates primarily out of the slot versus Mike Evans is more of a downfield guy. And although Godwin's missed time, in the time that he played, that's exactly what we've seen is Godwin has been the guy that Brady wants to target. And Mike Evans has gotten the red zone work, but that's because it's closer to the field. Evans has had some down games so far. OJ Howard had some breakout before he was injured. This offense has got a lot of offensive weapons. Gronk has looked washed for the most part. He had a decent game against Chicago, but he still didn't look great, and he was dealing with an injury all night. I think that this offense is, this whole Buccaneers roster was like, look how good they can be. And then so far they've been kind of average for the most part. Like, they're 3-2. They beat up on Carolina, who none of us thought were going to be that good anyway. They barely beat the Chargers after the Chargers blew a huge lead. Yeah, they beat the Broncos handily. And if I remember correctly, that's the game that Drew Lock didn't even play that game. So far they haven't beaten anybody impressive. They've looked bad against good teams. I think the Bears are a good team. I know not a lot of people agree with that. I think that the Bears are better than they get credit for. And so far, the Buccaneers have no impressive wins on their roster, and this offense doesn't look that good. They're dealing with a lot of injuries, but the offensive line, Jedrick Wills has been great, but left tackle. Tristan Wirfs. I got him and Jedrick Wills confused. My mistake, everybody. But their offensive line has looked decent. Left tackle got abused last week by Khalil Mack, and Robert Quinn had a great game. So this offense has the pieces to be good, but I think it's more like they're names that you know, but they're not necessarily that good on the field.
Yeah. So Jimmy, I guess my question then would be, do you think it's more something to do with the players not performing to the level that we would maybe expect from them? I mean, I know Rob Gronkowski unretired to come play with Brady, and he's still not really performing the way we expected him to. Or do you think at this point it could be a coaching thing where Bruce Arians, I know, you know, after their first loss, he kind of deflected some of that blame and put it on his players. So, I mean, where's your head at with kind of how this offense is performing through the first five games?
Yeah, going into the season, this team reminded me a lot of, to bring basketball into it, but LeBron when he first went to the Heat, where they had just a really star-studded team, but it took a little bit for that chemistry to kind of build. And so that's what I initially thought, but it just – I feel like there's too much talent on that offense for it not to be clicking. So I don't know if it is a coaching thing, but Arians has shown he can have success. He had it in Carolina, his time with the Colts – or not Carolina, Arizona, his time with the Colts. Honestly, the Buccaneers are just I'm confused on why they're not doing better than many expected. I guess you kind of have to put on the coach at this point, but they – I don't know if maybe just Brady doesn't really fit that system and they need to change it up a little bit, but Brady is also the most accomplished quarterback of all time, so you expect to be able to get this team going in the right direction. But we'll see. I don't know. I think it might just be too early to start pointing fingers, and they just need to work through these kinks on a really weird offseason, and they have a lot of new weapons that just need to kind of mesh together a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about the wide receivers a little bit more, but Gage, I'm glad you mentioned Chris Godwin, because I think he was almost poised for a better season than Mike Evans at this point. You know, he had a really strong finish to his 2019 season, and I'm not sure if he'll be able to go on Sunday, but if he is able to play, Godwin and Mike Evans are going to be probably the best tandem that this Packers defense has seen so far. So I guess maybe we can start with this Packers secondary. Kevin King is really the only player right now on the Packers defense that hasn't been able to practice yet this week. And it is early. You know, this episode will be out on Thursday, so there is time for Kevin to be practicing before Sunday's game. But if Kevin King can't go, what do you think that means for the secondary or whoever maybe plays on the boundary in his place, covering a guy like Mike Evans or Chris Godwin?
I'm going to operate on the assumption I don't think Godwin plays. Godwin like practiced for the first time in a while yesterday. He's rehabbing a hamstring injury. Obviously, soft tissue injuries are really finicky, as we saw with Devontae. We thought he was going to play for two more games after his injury, and he never saw the field. Granted, the Atlanta game, he maybe could have in his mind, but he didn't. I think they're going to hold Godwin out a little bit longer just to really make sure he's good to go. And in that case, even if Kevin King doesn't play, you're going to put Jair on Mike Evans. I don't really care about the height difference that's there. It's a pretty big one, but Jair shut down Calvin Ridley, and Kevin King had a great game against Julio Jones. The main thing with this Buccaneers offense, especially with Brady not having great arm strength, is they want to operate on the idea of generating yards after the catch. And Mike and Jair limits those as one of the best corners in the league in terms of tackling. Like throughout the season so far, I've seen a lot of guys going for big hits and then they miss and they don't get the tackle. They're like, oh, well, I hit him. And see, yeah, you got to tackle him. Jair loves to hit people, but he loves to wrap up and tackle, which is great. And Mike Evans isn't the quickest guy around, so Jair can really get into him, really slow him down in that way. Shannon Sullivan has been quietly the best slot corner in football thus far. I just saw the stat right before we got on here. He has the best passer rating against in terms of all slot corners in the NFL right now at about, I think, 53.5 or so. So in the slot, he's going to match up with guys like Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller. I think Justin Watson may or may not play. And Tyler Johnson looked good, but Shannon's more than good enough to hang with him still. So if Godwin plays and King misses, I think that it's a big week for Kadar Hallman, who probably has to step up because Josh Jackson just isn't getting it right now. Jackson, we're in year three now, and he still just isn't quite clicking at the level you would hope for. And he's not getting regular snaps as a result of it. So if King misses and Godwin plays, I think that it's a big week for Kadar Hallman to step up and show he can be the fourth guy and really push Jackson down, because Jackson's just, he's not what you wanted. I don't know if it's because of scheme or what his issue is. It's just he's not fitting in this defense like everyone would have hoped he would.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers in his presser a couple weeks ago had said that Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones are a really dynamic pairing because they make the defense kind of pick their poison, whether, you know, you kind of load up the box and play like a traditional base, or you load up your secondary in like a nickel or dime to get kind of that pass pro against against running backs who can also play in the passing game. So Jimmy, I know that Jamal Williams is Ronald Jones' training partner. The Buccaneers also have Leonard Fournette on the roster. What do you think the best matchup is for this Packers defense, kind of trying to eliminate Ronald Jones as that same kind of dynamic weapon that the Packers have in Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams?
Yeah, they're going to have to – I think that's honestly going to be their biggest test, is shutting down that run game. With it's, I believe it's 2 weeks in a row now, Ronald Jones has over 100 yards rushing. With Fournette being out, and is Fournette coming back this week?
Fournette was actually active last week, but he was active in a break glass in case of emergency type situation. Yeah. So he was active, but he didn't do anything. So I think he'll be like fully back this week and able to play. Keyshawn Vaughn will be interesting to watch. He left the game early last week, right after. Coincidentally, it was right after a fumble, but
yeah. So shutting down Ronald Jones is going to be extremely important. I don't know, something with Brady right now. I want to make Brady beat us, as crazy as that sounds. Shutting down that running game is going to be huge for the Packers defense, and getting Kenny Clark back and that new confidence you've seen in Tyler Lancaster and Kingsley Keke on that defensive line. And now bringing back in Kenny Clark on there too, is going to, I think we're going to see a really improved defensive line going in this week. And I think it's going to surprise people. And We took Calvin Ridley, who had 3 games of 100 plus yards receiving, and shut him down to zero. So obviously you're not going to shut Ronald Jones down to 0 yards rushing, but I think we're going to see a really good performance out of this defensive line to kind of slow Rojo down.
Yeah, and I think a big thing that this Packers defense, you know, Mike Pettine talked about it, things that they wanted to work on during the bye were, of course, tackling. I think it was like 14 missed tackles against the Saints, 10 against the Falcons. So this is something that this Packers defense needs to work on. Kenny Clark coming back should kind of help stuff up the middle a little bit. But, you know, we saw it with Drew Brees, where they operated a lot of dink and dunk, which is something that we know Tom Brady will do with his limited arm strength as he ages. But it was Alvin Kamara who was able to beat this Packers defense on chunk plays that he, you know, took for huge gains because the Packers weren't able to tackle effectively. So depending on, I know that Kamal Martin is back at practice. Doesn't sound like he'll be elevated off of injured reserve just yet to come back to the active roster, but it sounds like he's working towards that. So Gage, we've seen both Ty Summers and Chris Barnes kind of wear that communication helmet for this Packers defense against Atlanta. What are your thoughts on kind of how these guys match up both against the Falcons tight ends, and maybe who do you see taking a bigger step this week as kind of the leader in that middle of the defense?
So for the most part, against tight ends, the big issue for Green Bay's like linebackers and just defense in general covering safeties in the last decade or so has been against athletic quick tight ends. Cameron Brate is an okay athlete, but they don't utilize him as much as they should, considering he's still a really talented player and they're paying him a lot of money to be there. But Gronk is not the guy he was. Like, he's dealing with an injury right now, but even week one when he was healthy, he looked slow. He's not fast. He's just got size. So for that, in that way, I think that the Green Bay defense can actually match up really well with him, because they're not going to get beat by him, like from him running way faster than a guy of his stature should. They're now, the one thing they're going to have to worry about is being bullied, just because he's still big. He's still 260 pounds or whatever it is. And he can generate natural separation by running up and not pushing off, but just running into you and moving over. Granted, he got called for that in the Thursday night game, which is rare. But he's good at making separation, and you got to get into his jersey early and slow him down, because this Tampa Bay offensive line isn't great. And his whole thing is he needs timing to get out into his route. In terms of the running backs, I think Ty Summers and Chris Barnes are actually a really good matchup for a guy like Ronald Jones, who's been the lead guy so far this year. I still think Fournette's a better running back, but Jones is the one that's playing really well right now. And I think that these guys like Summers and Barnes have the speed to get after Jones outside. So it's just a matter of the front keeping them clean and allowing them to go make a play, because they can run sideline to sideline with Jones, who is a quick guy. But I think that this is actually a good matchup. It's just a matter of the offensive line. I think that this offensive line is definitely worse than the one that we saw in New Orleans. And so I think that for that reason, especially if Kenny Clark comes back, this defensive line can really slow down the blockers up front and allow Summers and Barnes to play downhill and really get after it. When they're playing downhill and using their athleticism, that's how they make plays. When this defense is being aggressive, really flowing towards the ball, that's when they're making plays. It's when they're sitting back and waiting that's when they, like Alvin Kamara, comes out of the backfield and makes them look silly. Be aggressive and go after the ball. Don't wait for the ball to come to you.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that we're seeing that a little bit too with Mike Pettine's use of Raven Green. I know he came back healthier. He was kind of limited the first couple games. He's back now pretty much in full swing. He tallied a sack against the Falcons, which was impressive on kind of like a slot blitz. So Jimmy, do you have any similar thoughts to Gage? I know, you know, we talked about this a little bit pre-show. With Preston Smith dropping into coverage, you know, there was kind of the rumor going around social media that maybe he was having difficulties because he was being asked to drop into coverage more frequently. And then the numbers came out that was not in fact the case. And he's still being utilized just about the exact same way that he was last year. So yeah. I think Kenny Clark coming back helps Preston's numbers. As Gage said, you give kind of these guys a better opportunity to attack. Rashawn Gary should be back this week. So that whole front seven really should be at full health kind of going into this game, as Gage alluded to as well, with a weaker Bucs offensive line. And we also know that Tom Brady is not mobile at this point in his career. So if you can rattle him in the pocket, that's probably the key to success on Sunday.
Yeah, I think Kenny Clark coming back to the defense is the biggest person that's going to impact is Preston Smith, especially even Rashawn Gary. Like at some points during the game, we're going to have Gary, Zadarius, Kenny, and Preston all rushing at Tom Brady. So it's going to be nice to see that, because that's going to be the first time since the first half of week one. So I think Kenny Clark you have the best pass rushing nose tackle in the NFL. And it's naturally, you're going to have to focus on the inside more now. And that's going to give Preston more chances to have some one-on-one on the outside with some offensive tackles, and moving Zadarius around too, bringing Rashawn in there. Like, there's going to be times where, because he hasn't performed that well this season so far, he's going to be the third or even fourth guy in that circumstance that the offensive line is really going to be worrying about. So they're going to move the running back over by Zadarius' side, or bring the tight end maybe over by Zadarius' side, and key on Zadarius coming in the middle for that protection. This could be a huge game for Preston Smith to kind of show people and shut up some doubters. One right here, unfortunately, but I know he's really talented, but now that we finally have our defensive line together, Kenny Clark is going to bring a new juice to this defensive line, because I'm very excited about it. But this kind of goes backtracks a little bit. Could you imagine the year that Chris Barnes and Ty Summers are having right now, going from getting released and then Ty Summers not playing any defensive snaps, and now the quarterbacks that Ty's been in on have been Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Tom Brady, two MVPs and a Super Bowl champion. Like, that's super weird year for them to go from just not being released, and then Ty Summers' first snaps come against three, for sure, two Hall of Famers, maybe one possible edge Hall of Famers. Kind of been an interesting roller coaster for Ty and Chris Barnes.
Yeah, and I don't want to open up any old wounds for anybody listening, but Patrick Queen just won his first defensive player of the week with the Ravens for his exceptional performance on Sunday. So to think about the production that the Packers are getting from their inside linebackers unit, knowing that, you know, I know Oren Burks right now is kind of playing outside linebacker instead, but not having anyone in that room higher than a third round draft pick and relying heavily on an undrafted player, it is nice to see them having success in the middle of the defense when they could have maybe trade it up for a guy like Patrick Queen, who is also playing really well, or Kenneth Murray, who's with the Chargers and had a really nice game on Sunday as well.
Do you, with Oren Burks, with Gary coming back in now, do you think we still see Oren Burks on the edge at some plays, or do you think they're going to start moving him back to maybe the middle of the field, which he hasn't really been too much, but.
I think that they should. I don't see any. I think that the idea that a guy has to play exclusively in one spot is foolish. We saw it with Zadarius in week 4 against the Falcons, that just move him around. Let your playmakers go make plays. If Oren Burks is playing well in a spot, let him go make a play there. Don't like just get your good players on the field. That's why the 49ers defense last year was so good. They had playmakers all over their front. They could send 5, and it's 5 just elite level players. On this Green Bay defense, you can send Zadarius, Preston, Gary, Clark, Oren Burks. You have elite guys. You have guys that can go make plays. Let your playmakers go make plays. I don't agree with this idea that guys have to play exclusively in one spot, and that's why they aren't successful. I think that the way you have a successful defense is putting your guys in spots to go make plays. And if they're good in one area, just work with it. Work around. Like, if you got to make someone else pull on another job because this guy is really good at this spot, then so be it. Also, the injury report is out. I'm going to run through it real fast. Devontae Adams, full participant in practice. Jair was limited with a hand and knee injury. Chris Barnes, limited with a shoulder injury. Kenny Clark, full participant. We love to see that. Tyler Irvin did not practice with a wrist injury. Rashawn Gary was limited with an ankle injury. Kevin King did not participate with a quad injury. Big dog Mercedes Lewis, knee injury, limited participant. And then Zadarius Smith with an ankle, full participation. Chandon Sullivan, concussion, full participation. So a lot of good news there.
Sweet. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you as well, Gage. I know that you kind of, you know, I keep saying that you bring the fantasy angle, but I think a name that a lot of fans listening probably won't be as familiar with on the Buccaneers is Scotty Miller, who's really kind of stepped up and played well in Chris Godwin's absence. So kind of knowing what we've seen from the Packers safeties right now and kind of how they've been shuffling around, how that secondary has looked, if Kevin King isn't a go, what do you know of Scotty Miller that maybe you can introduce Packers fans to, and how does he fit against this Packers defense?
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You could get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
If you guys watched the New England offense over the last 20 years with Tom Brady, he is Julian Edelman. He is he's Wes Welker. That's his job. He's this smaller slot guy. Like, he's not a big guy. He's 5'11", 174. And he's probably not 174. He's probably lighter than that. That's just his listed weight. He's not a big guy by any stretch of the imagination. Chandon Sullivan in the slot is a great matchup against him. And it's not. And I think that he's really good at generating natural separation. He's got 15 of 21 targets on the year for 250 yards, which puts him second on the team behind Mike Evans, who has 271 yards on another 14 targets. So in 7 more catches, Scotty Miller only has 21 fewer yards. So Miller's a good athlete. He has the ability to generate separation, and this offense is all about throwing the ball. So if he's healthy, because he missed because he didn't start in week five. Tyler Johnson got the start there, but Miller is a good player. You got to watch out for him. He's not going to sneak up on you in terms of, like, you know that he's going to be there because he's been talked about all offseason long as being the third guy behind Godwin and Evans. And if Evans and Godwin play, that just makes Miller's life even easier, because then that's one less, like, coverage guy that can be dedicated to him. So if he gets mismatched on a linebacker like Chris Barnes or Ty Summers, he has an advantage there. It's important for Chandon to have a good game. And if the safeties like Savage or Amos is in charge of sticking with him, they got to get physical with him. He doesn't have size. Get physical with him on the line of scrimmage, which is what, granted, that's what I think this entire defense needs to do. I hate watching guys play 10 yards off. I love the bump and run coverage. I think it's great. I think that if you have the athletes to do it, then you should do it. And Miller's the type of guy that if you really jostle him at the line of scrimmage, it's going to mess up his entire route, and it's going to mess up himself for the entire play.
Yeah, I like that analysis a lot, and I think that that'll help. I like that you also made a Patriots connection because, you know, why not? We're seeing Tom Brady in the NFC now. So, Jimmy, before we wrap things up, I just wanted to – I'll circle back with both of you, but – if you could pick one key matchup or one key to success for this Packers defense, either a player or a unit, what are you going to be most focused on with this Bucs offense versus Packers defense on Sunday?
I really want this defensive line to get a pass rush on Brady. Last week, they had three sacks against him. Khalil Mack, he got that really nice eye roll from Tom once he realized that Mack hit him again. And they haven't given up a sack at home yet this season, so I really want the Packers to be the first team to get to sack Brady in Tampa Bay, which would be a fun little thing to brag about just to people who like Tom Brady. But that's a big thing, is just getting this defensive line at the quarterback. I think that would be huge.
All right, Gage, how about you?
You stole mine. That's what I was going to go with.
Thank you for asking me first.
So, yeah, specifically, I was going to say the left tackle matchup of just Donovan Smith versus whoever goes against them. Trista Wirfs has played really well this year, so I think that Donovan Smith is the one that's really under the microscope. So since you took that, I'm going to say it's going to be these linebackers versus the running backs. I think Fournette plays this week. I just don't know how much, and I think that it's going to be big for them to really stick with those guys. This offense that for Green Bay has really been clicking this season, but you can't have them sitting on the sideline. They're on the sideline. They can't make plays. They can't score points for you. And we've seen Green Bay get beaten up in the past couple of years by teams that run the ball really well. And while Ronald Jones isn't the best pure runner, this team is playing really well. He's averaging 4.9 yards per carry in respect to Jones. Then Fournette is 5.1. So they're averaging a good, healthy yards per carry. They can move the ball on this defense, and those long, sustained drives keep the score low, keep the defense on the field, wears them out, and then late in the game, that's when they can hit a big play to a guy like Mike Evans or Cam Bray, Chris Godwin, Tyler Johnson even. So my big thing is Ty Summers and Chris Barnes against these two running backs for Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all kind of in agreement, and that makes it less interesting. But having Kenny Clark back and Kingsley Keke in the middle, and then being able to keep Za'Darius Smith as kind of that roaming nose with Preston and Gary off the edge, I really like that as a front five. And I really think that that is going to be one of the keys on Sunday, is to get pressure on Tom Brady, because as my Pax What She Said co-host Barry Goldstein says, he turtles. He just kind of tucks into his shell the second he feels any pressure, and he can't really elude the pocket. So that'll be one of the keys. And I also think, you know, we'll see what happens with Kevin King. It feels, given his injury history in the past, it might be a game that they keep him out of. But then I think we can expect to see a lot more of Raven Green. I don't know if maybe Chandon Sullivan bounces to the boundary and then we see Raven Green on a guy like Scotty Miller, if he kind of fills in. Will Redmond was doing a little bit in the slot in place of Chandon Sullivan against the Falcons. So we'll see how that matchup is. But I do agree with both of you, of course. I think pressure is going to be key, and seeing how this Packers front with Kenny Clark back matches up against that Buccaneers O-line. So before we wrap things up, Gage, if the people want to follow you on social media, find all of your fantastic content, where can they do that?
You can follow me on Twitter at GBridgefordNFL. I currently do rankings for fantasy over at Game On Wisconsin, as well as a podcast there twice a week, a live stream every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern time. I generally do 2 to 3 articles per week for Rotoballer, as well as a couple of articles for – I do a lot. If you follow my Twitter, you'll find all my content. It's kind of hard to just say where it's all at. I will be doing actually a game preview for just the Green Bay game this week. It'll come out Sunday morning with Tyler Gresgorik, and I think probably Mike Wendland will be on there with me this week.
Awesome. Jimmy, where can the people find your work?
Yeah, find me at Jimmy_C08. All my stuff's goes on to my Twitter. Write an article every Tuesday for Packer Report. I have a show every Tuesday with Jacob and Jamal Williams for his swag bag giveaway for his Christmas toy drive. So be sure to donate. Check that show out, 6 p.m. Central Time every Tuesday. Wednesday night, Lombardi's Bar with Dan and Todd over on Game On Wisconsin. And then Thursdays, you guys can listen to my beautiful voice on Packaday.
Which they are doing right now. And you can find me on Twitter at Maggie J. Loney. I write two articles a week for Cheesehead TV. I podcast with Perry Goldstein. That usually comes out Fridays on the PAX with Cheesehead podcast. And you can also catch Perry and me, because we're always together, on Monday evenings on Happy Hour through Game On Wisconsin. It's a live show. We encourage you to bring alcohol and questions, and we talk football for an hour. So thank you, as always, for listening to the Pack a Day podcast. Go Pack, go.
And Jones out in front. They're trying to chase him down. He's inside the 10, and he is in for the touchdown.
The title is back in town. The Green Bay Packers are one.